Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Sue Thomas is off on this Friday. She's going to be back on Monday afternoon. Tim Summers is going to join us in just a little bit. We love visiting with Tim. I love to talk about music. I got my start in music radio. He's a former record executive. He contributes to the Rock and Roll Globe. He's the guy who signed Hootie and the Blowfish. He also wrote a book about that. And we got some good topics to chew on with Tim here at the bottom, or at least closer to the bottom of the hour. State Senator Nick Schorr is here to talk about the session in Jeff City. The first week is wrapped up. I think the Senate sent the bill to the House. Senator, how are you? Is this true? You sent me this. Are you the new chairman of the Freedom Caucus? Is that brand new breaking news this afternoon?
That is brand spanking breaking news. Yes, it is.
How did all that come together? Do you guys usually do that at this time of year to decide who's going to lead the Freedom Caucus, or is that something that was inaudible to a certain extent?
Well, it's typically, so we're a little over a year old, and the elections typically will happen towards the end of the year in December. But with this special session and just what transpired, there were a lot of people asking questions, and the chairman said, hey, we're going to expedite these elections. He's going to step down. I think there's a statement that's going to be out from him shortly. Good friend of mine. He's still part of the Freedom Caucus, but I was nominated to take this thing on. So let's get some things going, cut taxes, protect parents and their choices of where they're sending their kids, and make this state more freer. And unfortunately, we're going to have to get past a special session, but yeah. I don't think the route we are going is necessarily doing that. I don't think that's freeing up the people here in the state of Missouri, as we're saddling them with more debt that's going to billionaires that own these teams in Kansas City.
Well, I'm not crazy about that either. And we talked about it, as you might expect, on the roundtable a couple of hours ago. It was interesting to me. Is Senator Tracy McQuarrie part of the Freedom Caucus? Because if you heard her a couple of days ago, she sounded like a Republican, didn't she?
She did, and I was on the dais listening to that. They had me on the dais kind of managing all of the chaos, and she was standing up there. There were two different Democrats, and I would say three. I had really good talks with Stephen Weber from Columbia, with Stephen Roberts from St. Louis City, and Tracy McQuarrie was one who I think we were very close to a deal on cutting your income taxes, but that all blew up as we were getting close to midnight, and the legislators took a different direction.
So it passes 19 to 13. I don't know if there's a way to encapsulate all of this here in the short time that we have, but let's back up just a little bit. We know that the governor called this after you guys wrap your session in May. There's still business to take care of. One of the things is tornado relief for St. Louis, right? That was one thing. And when we talked a couple of nights ago, that number was at $25 million. It grew to $100 million. Now, I'm not saying I'm opposed to that. We want to help people where they need help. But this thing balloons very quickly, specifically on the stadium deal. You voted against it, right, Nick?
Right.
Okay.
I did. And I voted against the funding as well. And yeah, I'm supportive of providing some of this relief to the people in the city of St. Louis. But the way that it was done, I know there's some parameters that are put in place to make sure that these liberals like Megan Green and the rest of the people that associate with the Communist Party of the United States will not be able to just start handing it out to their friends. I get that. But with the federal monies that are coming in, the different insurance payments that are coming in, I do think that we went a little bit overboard, especially as we're in a state where we need to start tightening our belt if we're going to be handing out these billionaire handouts to stadium owners.
So what happens specifically on the Royals and the Chiefs? What's on the table right now? And will that be the case in the House? Will the governor get this bill as it sort of exists right now? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, nothing really changed from what we discussed about how the teams will be able to keep the money that they're producing, their sales tax that they're producing, and try to bond off of that. We've never seen any other state doing something like this. What happened in Kansas, they wrote them a blank check. We'll cover up to 75% of your new stadiums if you come over into Kansas. And this approach by the legislators in Missouri, I don't know if it's going to be enough to keep these teams. I do think, just as I predicted earlier this week, that the Kansas City Royals will likely go. One of the reasons that I filed Senate, I think it was Senate Bill 18, that declares the Cardinals the official team in the state of Missouri.
Right.
But there were some allowances that were put on there that could, if they pass in the courts, that could go to the ballot in April, not in November, as what some legislators originally thought was going to happen. That could either cap your property tax at 5% growth or CPI, whichever is less, or freeze it altogether with 2024 rates. And the reason I said I don't think it's constitutional, one of the reasons I voted against that is it's against the special laws prohibition in the state of Missouri, equal protection. There are counties like St. Louis County, St. Louis City, Boone County, Greene County that won't get any impact whatsoever. And unfortunately, there was a change in this provision that if that's thrown out, if the court takes that out, the stadium deal still goes into law. And that's not from what I talked to a couple colleagues. That's not what they expected when this language was changed in the sub. So this could produce some issues when it goes over to the House.
All right. So you have a new governor that people seem to like, right? I like Mike Kehoe. You have a super majority of Republicans. Most of the people that are on my show, like you and Mary Elizabeth, they voted against this package, right?
Right. You've got some damn good conservative guests, I see.
I think so. But then how people might say, well, how in the world? Because, look, I understand, and I'd love to keep the Chiefs, and we talked about this, the Royals, if they go to Overland Park, I really don't care. But this happens time and time and time again. And to your point and Senator McQuarrie's point, people are sick and tired of handouts to billionaires. So how does that kind of, you know, jive, if you will, with everything else that you guys are doing and the rest of the Kehoe agenda? Because I don't think you dislike the governor. You're not, you know, someone who's in this camp right now. But how does that work itself out? Because there's a lot of people that are going to say, wait, what the hell's happening here? We didn't want this.
Yeah, I've got a lot of family and friends that I disagree with on this as well, that they kind of forget their conservative credentials and their beliefs. And they said, but we can't lose to Kansas. And I get that mindset. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Kansas. The Jayhawks and, you know, their government over there trying to steal away teams. But I will say, we can't be giving these handouts away because it will be a slippery slope. This bill is going to allow the Blues and the Cardinals and MLS and whoever it may be
to come back,
to scoop up and start doing it. Well, they're already allowed to. They don't even need to come back. They're just going to be able to tap into what the legislature has passed. And I do think that there is a little bit of public pressure from people like the fans who are saying, well, wait a second. And they're not really looking at the economic standpoint. That's one of the reasons myself and Tracy McCreary and others are elected, to get into the weeds of the economic impact. And, you know, as a governor, I'm not flawing the guy. He wants to keep these teams here, and he wants to try to strike that balance of, you know, the east side of the state, what they want, the west side of the state. But here on our side, we've seen that this doesn't work. We've seen what happens when we pour our heart and soul and our hard-earned money into trying to keep a team here, and we get the middle finger like Stan Kroenke gave us. And unfortunately, I think that's what the Kansas City Royals are doing. I hope I'm wrong. But no, I think this has been shown. And even liberal rags like The Atlantic are saying that this is a terrible deal for states, and even Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago has come out turning, a blind eye to all of this public pressure, saying, no, if you want to build a stadium out here, do it with private funds. I think that's what we should have done this past week.
So in the case of the Chiefs, what's the threat specifically there? I get that the Royals could move over, you know, to Overland Park. Is that the same thing where they're saying, we're going to give you that much money? They're that out there on this that they're going to just write checks to both of these teams?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And wow. I think if this does happen, if both of these teams leave, you're going to see Kansas, who already, you know, after they cut taxes many years ago, they continued spending. They don't have a good grasp on how to actually govern. So these blank checks that they're writing, I think, will come with some dire consequences. However, talking to all of the different the talking heads, so to speak, for the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City Royals, the Kansas City Chiefs just want the Royals to be out of that sports complex that they're in so they can kind of mimic what the Cardinals have done in building a ballpark village, putting a footprint there, putting hotels. So I think ultimately they'll stay. But yeah, on the line right now, Kansas has written blank checks, and I know Tennessee is trying to creep in there to get a baseball team. So we'll see. I think ultimately the Chiefs will stay, but if both of the teams leave, Kansas is going to be strapped for many years.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've seen look what happened with the A's, right? And they're going to Vegas right now. I don't know if the Royals would even be in a situation to relocate, but these things are very common. And let's face it, people in St. Louis would be freaking out if we're talking about the Cardinals probably going to Illinois. Thank God across the river is not a very attraction, you know, a very good attraction. But I get how people in Kansas City are going to say, wait a second, we don't want this to happen. Maybe they're not thinking through the whole consequences here. I guess bottom line, like you, I don't care if either team really moves to Kansas. I'm a fan of the Chiefs. I'm not a fan of the Royals. I'll still be a fan of the Chiefs, but there are economic implications. I just hate all the tax money going to billionaires like everyone else does, or seemingly.
Yeah, and I wish we would pour this heart and soul into bringing in innovators in healthcare or bringing in new manufacturers, stripping away regulations so we can actually start competing not only with other states around us, but other nations. So hopefully we can start doing that with job creators outside of just the sports entertainment realm.
All right, Senator, congratulations on the new gig as the chair of the Freedom Caucus. Nick, have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
You too. God bless. Right.
I got a little bit more politics to do later in the show when we get to audio cut of the day, but we're going to take a little break and talk music with Tim Sommer. Coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I like to brag on my music because I put the Spotify list together, the bumper music, and this is significant because it is New Order, and the founding member, one of the founding members, Peter Hook of New Order and Joy Division, is at the pageant tonight. I heard from a friend of mine earlier who's very excited about that show, and our music guy, Tim Sommer, music journalist, former record exec, is with us this afternoon to talk about this and more. Hello, Tim. How are you this afternoon?
Mark, it is always a pleasure, and you're having a wonderful show today. I'm really enjoying it.
Despite Sue not being here, we do miss Sue quite a bit. She will be back on Monday. You know, on the Peter Hook situation, that was those two bands were never bands, like the song I just played, True Faith. I like some of their songs. Never bands that I super got into over the course of time. And I don't know, how would you even put them, what genre would you put them in?
That's a great question. I think there's this thing people call post-punk. It's when punk rock began to open around 1978 or so. Punk rock, which was essentially this wall of sound and this wall of attitude, punk rock began to open up some space in the music. They opened space up. They took a little of the guitar away, began to do some different things with the guitar. They let the bass and the drums take the lead. They let more emotion and more space and more danceability and more noise, even, instead of just straight guitar chords, like noise, seep into the mix. And they developed this space for something called post-punk. And its heyday was really 1978 to 1981, and really one of the pioneering bands in that post-punk movement, really by which I define space, the same energy and attitude as punk rock, but with this great space opening up in it. One of the pioneering bands in that was Joy Division. One of the things that made Joy Division so magical, one of the things that made New Order so magical. Remember, they're the same band with different singers. Joy Division's legendary singer killed himself in May of 1980, at which point the members of the band continued as New Order. Now, one of the things that made both Joy Division and New Order so singular was the bass playing of Peter Hook, essentially the lead instrument in both Joy Division and New Order, early New Order especially, was the bass. And Peter Hook had this melodic, almost chord-based style, which was one of the most influential. He became one of the most influential bass players of the 1980s and 90s. In fact, I think there are two bass players around 1978, 79, 80 who changed the way people used the bass guitar moving forward. One of these was Lemmy from Motorhead.
Oh, yeah, right.
Who essentially used the bass as a supercharged rhythm guitar. And the other was Peter Hook from New Order and Joy Division, who let a melodic, and truly melodic, like he played melodies, he played counter vocal melodies with his bass. And I'm not going to go on and on about this, but an interesting thing about both Joy Division and New Order is neither of their vocalists were traditionally good vocalists, and in many ways, there were monotone vocalists. They're vocalists who sort of weren't soaring vocals all over the place, sort of spoken vocals, monotone vocals. The person who did the real melodic heavy lifting in both Joy Division and New Order was Peter Hook. Now, he's playing at the pageant tonight,
right,
and
right.
I'll tell you something wonderful about Peter Hook. He honors his past. He's not going to go out there and say, here, let me play you 14 new songs, and then I'll play two songs you're familiar with. Peter Hook does a show dedicated to the legacy of New Order and Joy Division. And if anyone out there listening to this wants a masterclass, wants a chance to see one of the formative bass players of our era, please go see Peter Hook.
So this is the song you had me pull. This is Ceremony. So listen to this here for a second. And maybe shame on me because, you know what's funny? You know, I was in Greece a few weeks ago, and at one point I was hearing a song and I was basically playing air bass. You know how people play air guitar?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my listeners who was with me said, are you playing air bass? I said, yeah, I kind of do that because I have a fascination with the bass patterns in songs. I really, really enjoy listening to them. And I didn't know a lot about Peter Hook, so it's interesting that you kind of put that on my radar because that, you know, every once in a while when something like that happens, I'll give you an example. I'm listening to John Mayer's station a couple of Saturdays ago. I think
sure.
He does a good job on Sirius XM. And he talks about Boz Scaggs and, you know, Jeff Porcaro from Toto playing the drums on, I don't know if it was Lido Shuffle or one of the other ones, but, you know, you kind of focus in then on that part of the song maybe in a different way and appreciate the song in a different way than you've heard it for all these years, perhaps.
Well, it's very interesting. There are very few bands out there where really the instrument doing the heavy lifting in terms of the melody is the bass guitar, and one of those is Peter Hook's playing in New Order. And as some people listening to this might know, it was not a good break with New Order. He split from New Order, I'm going to say about 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know the exact date, and it wasn't a good break. I think people were surprised. He was such a major part of New Order. I think people were surprised when New Order continued without him. But again, he's really one of the masterclass bassmen, and he should be up there with, you know, with Geddy Lee, again, with Lemmy. I think Lemmy and so much of the way people played bass in the 80s, 90s, and beyond is based on what Lemmy did and based on what Peter Hook did.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm glad you included Geddy Lee because Rush is always a St. Louis favorite. There's no doubt about that. Let's venture into some political arena with music because, as you know, I'm a big Springsteen guy. And when all this happened a couple of weeks ago when he started or restarted his tour, the Land of Hope and Dreams, they're calling it now. I was in Madrid a couple of years ago for the start of the European leg of the tour. They've taken a little break. They never did come here to St. Louis. And I've known Springsteen's politics for my entire life. I know that Born in the USA is not this rah-rah song. It's a, you know, it's an anti-war song. And I've known that, you know, the stripped down version that he does occasionally that's been on tracks is more of an angry version. But there are a lot of people who are in, you know, my world as fans that are not left wing people and don't really want to be preached at when it comes to politics. So I have appreciation for people having the freedom to do that. And after Bruce does that, you have, you know, a lot of other bands that have stood up for him. But what would you say about the rest of the fans who are uncomfortable with that? What I've had people tell me is tough, you know what, because their music speaks to the politics. They are what they are. That's fine, but then it also alienates fans. I've never felt, Tim, alienated from Bruce Springsteen. People may find that surprising. I've been to like 42, 43, 44, 50, 45, lost track of the shows. But now I feel alienated.
That's a very, very interesting point. I want to start by saying this. And to me, this is the base. This is the whole picture to me. But again, there are a lot of nuances. But the first thing I want to say is this, and I say this with great affection for your show and for all of your listeners. Thank God we live in a country where someone can still say these sorts of things.
I agree with that.
The sort of things that Bruce Springsteen said on his most recent EP. And thank God we still live in a country where people can disagree with that. And thank God we live in a country where we can talk about it freely and openly on the radio. You don't have to agree with Bruce Springsteen, not at all. But my God, if you are an American, you should be grateful for the right he has, for his right.
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. But
the legacy of nonviolent protest is one of America's great gifts to the world, and as long as we still allow it, I say God bless America. Now, should Bruce Springsteen have meddled in all this? You know what? That's his business.
Yeah, it is.
He has so much money, he can lose a few fans, and he can still send his great-great-great-great-grandchildren to college.
Yeah, because he sold the catalog for like $300, $400 million, right?
Yeah, so... I mean, I'm proud, again, I'm proud that we live somewhere where he can say those sort of things, and I'm proud that we live somewhere where people can disagree with it. What's very interesting is if we were to go back to the very beginning of Bruce's career, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, and you know Bruce Springsteen much better than I do, Bruce Springsteen's music much better than I do. If we go back to the beginning of Bruce's career, I think people thought originally John Hammond, who the legendary A&R man
yeah,
producer
right.
who signed him to, it was Columbia, right?
Columbia Records, that's right, yep.
I think they thought that he was going to be the next generation in American protest singers, that he was going to be the next Bob Dylan. What they maybe weren't counting on, and this is a form of protest as well, they weren't counting that he was going to tell the stories. And this has been the beauty of Bruce Springsteen for 50 years now. He tells American stories. And right now, a huge part of America's story is that not everyone is happy with what's going on out there.
Well, right. And there are plenty of people on the right, you know, that are not happy with Trump. So, you know, this does cross over.
Out, are we?
Yeah. But see, here's what this is where I have difficulty. And I'd love your opinion on this because you know how much I love music. It's my passion. I started in music radio. I dabbled in the record industry. It was so much fun. It's still one of my favorite things, listening to music. I'll clean my house tomorrow, listening to John Mayer's station, putting my bumper music together for Monday. But with all the division that we have in this country, and look, I've lost a couple of friends in the aftermath of last year's election. You can typically, not always, apparently not now, you can go to a concert, you can be standing right next to someone. We all can let that stuff go. Now, I get that political messages are in a lot of music. A lot of music doesn't have political messages. But I feel like there's a place that you can go. And, you know, in the aftermath of COVID, this became even more important because we were all cooped up for so long. But we can go to a concert. You can maybe say this about sporting events. And you don't know the person next to you that they think you're a Nazi, if you know what I mean. And some of that, I think, is being stripped away. And that's, I guess, where my disappointment is.
That's a very interesting way to put it. And I'm going to tell you something interesting. There's a new record I like. And by the way, I'm not getting in a plug here. This is something very, very related to what you just said. There's a new record I very, very much like by a 20-year-old or so Canadian band called The Born Ruffians. Fantastic record. Imagine a cross between Radiohead and Nirvana and Gang of Four.
I got a little music here playing in the background. Yeah, go ahead. Continue.
Fascinating record. Now, they're from Canada, and I did an interview with the lead singer a little while ago, and I asked him, and it was a wonderful conversation. His name was Luke Lalonde, and I asked him, you're a Canadian, you work in Canada, but you also work in the United States. Are you afraid? How do you feel about coming to America in the current political climate? And he said, well, there are a lot of things that are scary about that. We worry about crossing the border and this and that. But this is what he said to me. I want you to hear what Luke Lalonde of Born Ruffians said to me. He said, you know, you cross the border and you walk into a gas station and it's full of MAGA stuff and you wonder, what's going on here? Do I want to be here? But then you begin to talk to people. You talk to people in the gas station and you find out that even if you don't agree with them politically, they're just people, and you still have common ground, and you still have stuff to talk to them about. What he was saying essentially was that when you listen to someone, when you step into the arena of music, when you step into the wonderful, wonderful planetarium of music, everyone can get along. Everyone can enjoy. All you have to do is look someone in the eye, and no matter what their political view is, relate to them as a person. And that's what he was saying. He was saying people are going, oh my God, you're going to have such a hard time in America. He said, no, we're not, because I can find something to relate to with every person I talk to.
Yeah, but in the middle of all that, you have Billy Joe Armstrong. I love Green Day, right? And I've known where they've been, and American Idiot has its messages, right? But he's out there just screaming at people right now. Then you have Imagine Dragons, maybe on the other side of the equation just a little bit, you know, draping themselves, leaving the stage in a Palestinian flag. I mean, some of this stuff for fans who just want to hear the music, and I guess they have the freedom, Tim, don't get me wrong, it just becomes alienating. And that's where I guess it disappoints me. Hang on, though. We have much more to talk about. We're coming back with more in a moment with Tim Sommer. Audio cut of the day coming up as well.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My friend Tim Sommer, music journalist and record executive, former record executive, he was there in the infancy of MTV. We always love to talk music. You know, Tim, you always share stories. I wanted to share one with you here this afternoon.
Sure.
This is why I played this song.
Wait, very quickly say something though, Mark. I think you need to audition for the person who reads the disclaimers on the medication ad.
That underdog fantasy thing, I'm telling you, I love underdog fantasy, but because of the legalities, I have to, you know, read things, and they make it more complicated every single time, but I have to do what I have to do. So I'm playing...
Let's hear your story. I want to hear this story.
I'm playing Jay Gosband here, and this is from, you know, Flamethrowers from a record that is a little different from what certainly the Jay Giles Band was in the 70s. They were a very soulful band, and the sound was different. And some people, I think, who were fans in the 70s would say that they sold out a little bit. Centerfold was the big hit from back then. But what was funny is that this is when I was just like a 16, 17-year-old kid here working at a 10-watt radio station. And the radio station was called KYMC. It was owned by the YMCA. It was on Manchester Road right by Parkway West, which is my high school. So at that time, when I start going, and by the way, my parents had to pay for it because it was technically a YMCA program, right?
Okay.
So they do it, and, you know, I start working there. Well, they really didn't have any access to records or to, you know, to the actual music. So I go, and I don't even know how this exactly started. There was a friend of mine named Scott McElrath, who unfortunately passed away in the last couple of years. We were working together. He was a year older than I was, and he said, and we together teamed up and said, hey, let's find these record executives in St. Louis. And back then, a lot of them worked out of their home, Tim, right?
Yeah.
So I go to these people, and I end up, we kind of finagled our way backstage.
See, the local guys would always work.
That's exactly right. So we finagle our way backstage. And one time I remember, I think we did this for Pat Benatar. You look on the back of the record cover, and they list the tour manager on there. They used to, right? They probably don't do it anymore. So we take a shot. Hey, you know where the bands might stay at whatever, you know, the Hilton or whatever. We call the tour manager and say, look, we're from a radio station. Can we get a backstage pass? We actually did that, and we pulled it off. But I would meet these record guys, and I would say, record women too. I'd say, hey, can we get record service at this little dinky 10-watt radio station that you could barely get out of the parking lot? And what they would tell me is, well, we can't afford to mail them to you, but most of them worked out of their homes. Some had offices. So I don't even know if you know this person, but her name was Jean Hobell. She went by Bebop Hobell, and she was with EMI at the time, and that was the, you know, the label that put out the Jay Giles Band and that record that I just referred to with Freeze Frame. So I end up going, and she was so good to me, and a lot of these people were mentors of mine, right? So she had a party before they came here to the Kiel Opera House at the time. Now it's called the Stiefel Opera House. And we go to this party, and then I go to the concert. The concert was amazing. I'm backstage at the concert because I went backstage to a lot of these things. And again, I was 16, 17 years old. So do you remember the cover of Freeze Frame? It was kind of an artsy-fartsy, weird-looking cover. I don't don't even know really how to describe it, which is why I asked a really stupid question that night when I was backstage. Magic Dick, that was his name, the harmonica player for the Jay Giles Band.
Legendary.
Peter Wolf was the singer, of course, Jay Giles, guitar player. I'm dumb enough at the time to say to Magic Dick, and this is an epic answer, I said, what does the cover of the record mean, right? Again, I'm a dumb 17-year-old kid. And this is his quote, because I remember it to this day. He goes, I don't know what the F it means. Right now it means double effing platinum, which I thought was just a brilliant, brilliant answer. And I'll never forget it.
This reminds me of a story. I'm going to tell you a very quick story, which is just like that. 1983, I was backstage at an AC/DC concert. And I was actually with someone who later became very, very well known. I was with my friend Rick Rubin, who was a huge AC/DC fan. And Rick was not that well known at the time.
And yeah, he's pretty well known these days.
And we had a question. So we were talking with, Malcolm Young of AC/DC. And we said to him, hey, so the album Back in Black, you had just lost your legendary singer, Bon Scott. Bon Scott had died half a year before the album, right before the album began being recorded. You lost this legendary singer. This is a true story. You lost your legendary singer, yet nowhere on the album, nowhere in the credits does it say goodbye to Bon or thanks, yeah, Bon, for all the years, or we dedicate this album to Bon Scott, okay? We thought that was weird. So we asked, we said, is there nothing on the album saying we dedicate this to Bon? And then Malcolm Young looks at us blankly for about 30 seconds, and then he says, the freaking album is called Back in Black. We didn't think we needed to say anything more than that. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
kind of the same,
yeah,
story.
It's you know, they were making the statement right there. By the way, what at that time, and this is also interesting, 1983 probably was the exact year that Freeze Frame concert was, and it was legendary. One thing I remember about it, they did their set, the house lights kind of go up, everyone thought the concert was over, and they kept playing and playing, and it was really, really a great show. But what was Rick Rubin doing in 1983? Rick Rubin, for people who don't know, you should explain who he is, one of the most successful American record producers of all time.
He was a legendary American record producer, if anyone from... he was also, he's a formative figure in mainstreaming rap music with his label, Def Jam Records.
That's
which,
right,
I don't think he's involved with any longer. But he put together Def Jam Records in 1983 or maybe 1984 with Russell Simmons. And then Rick was producing Run DMC. He was producing the Beastie Boys. And he did Walk This Way with Run DMC and Aerosmith. And he's gone on to so many things. From the Chili Peppers to God, to Metallica,
Gaga, yeah, Ed Sheeran, you name it, all kinds
of
bands.
I'm not saying this in any name-droppy way. It's just a matter of fact. Rick and I were very good friends in college. We lived in the same dormitory, and we became very good friends because we were both obsessed with music, and that's why. So we would go to concerts together fairly often. If you don't mind, and I'll make this very quick, I want to say there was one thing I wanted to pick up on the thing you were saying about Green Day and Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I'll make this very, very quick. The reason I have trouble with that stuff, and it's probably different, but you'll understand this. Maybe it's different from your reason, maybe it's the same. There's a reason I have trouble with that stuff, and whether it's an artist advocating from the right end of the spectrum, like, say, Jason Aldean or Kid Rock,
yeah, sure,
or somebody advocating from the left end of the spectrum, or Green Day or Imagine Dragons, do you want to know how to figure out if they're full of crap or not? Is there, outside the venue or inside the venue, is there a voter registration booth? Is there a table where they are handing out information about their positions? Sloganeering doesn't get us anywhere. You know what helps us? Do you know what helps us understand each other? Do you know what helps us move forward with the republic? Do you want to know what helps us move forward with democracy? Information. So don't stand there and sloganeer. Don't stand there and wave Palestinian flags. Don't stand there and say nasty things about X, Y, or Z. Give me information. So if you go to a concert, say Green Day, and they're saying all these bad things about somebody from whatever side, unless there is someone in the venue giving you information and saying, here is how you register to vote.
Well, it's a good point, and they're not. Yeah, they're not doing that for sure. I just, you know what? I just want to have fun. I do, but I just want to go and hear the music and have fun. And unfortunately, those days seem to be numbered. Tim Sommer, we got to go. I appreciate it as always. I love you, dude. We'll talk soon. All right, take care. I don't feature a lot of music in French here on this particular show, but this is one I really like. And it's a cover of a song, but I still like it a lot. It was featured in the end credit scene of the Anna Kendrick movie, A Simple Favor, which I think has a sequel now. I love this song, though, so much. Hey, on the music topic, we had former Senator John Lamping, who's often a Reardon Roundtable member, on the show earlier this week talking about the special session and some other things related to Trump. But, John, you're out in Augusta, a beautiful part of Missouri, and you have a wine and jazz festival for this weekend. Looks like your weather is going to be fantastic. I wanted to give you one more opportunity to plug it, so plug away this afternoon before I get to audio cut of the day.
Well, thank you so much, Mark. So, yeah, starting in just a few minutes at Mount Pleasant Winery and then at Good News Brewery tonight, we've got two acts. It's the kickoff to our Augusta Wine and Jazz Festival. And tomorrow is the big day. We go from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. All the wineries are participating. Tomorrow afternoon, all the big wineries out of here from 1 to 5 will have different bands. And then tomorrow night, we've got the Hot Club of Baltimore, which is kind of a nation-renowned Django Reinhardt kind of jazz guitar type jazz, and they're headlining at the Harmony Verein, which is an historic 1869 entertainment center the Germans built way back in the day. And you know, rain or shine, we're going to be on. All of the venues have covered spaces, and it's free all day. To see the headline act, it's $20 to get in the door. There's actually a shrimp broil at 5 o'clock, and that's a little bit more to get in if you want to have dinner. So you know, we're hoping the weather holds out, and then Sunday morning there's a brunch at another winery first thing Sunday morning. So if you go to theharmony.org/jazzfest, you know, all the information is there. You can buy tickets in advance for the headline act. You can buy them at the door too.
Yeah, I guess I was giving you a little bit of a pass on the weather. I just noticed that there are thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. But look, I think for the most part, it's going to be a pretty nice weekend. And you have some stuff going on Sunday as well. But this is starting tonight, like right in a matter of a few minutes. Or it's already
underway. A good friend of ours he's a part of the Black City Quartet, and they're a Django band. And they're over at Mount Pleasant, and right now it's not raining. It's not supposed to rain for the next hour or two. And the guys coming in from Baltimore, I mean, this Django Reinhardt, there's actually Django festivals all around the world, mostly in Europe, some few places in the United States. And these guys are out of Baltimore, and they've headlined for 6 or 7 years at one of these festivals. And so we're just so happy to get them in. And that's in the Harmony of Ryan's covered. Rain or shine, yeah, it'll be sold out.
It doesn't matter. But, awesome. Well, good luck with the festival. I have to at least get 60 seconds on the Musk Trump divorce and your thoughts on that. Holy cow, was that crazy yesterday? It's not been as crazy today, but what do you even make of that, John?
Well, I think bromances are tough. You know, when you break up with your bro, it can be kind of hard. I think never forget that Trump is his own personality, and Musk has Asperger's, pretty bad Asperger's.
Right.
So managing interpersonal relationships is certainly not his strength. What does he have? 13 or 14 children by different women. And Trump is Trump. I think when it's all said and done, the bros will get back together and make up. And Trump's thick-skinned. He can let this pass.
You really think that they might kiss and make up on this deal? Because it was pretty nasty. Look, there's some people think, well, it's all planned and they're just doing this on purpose. It was pretty nasty yesterday. I mean, at one point he retweets someone saying, you know, Trump should be impeached and J.D. Vance should take over. He has the Epstein, reference at least. I can't see them kissing and making up. But what I said on the roundtable is usually with Trump, he's punching down, right? There's not a lot of people at his level, certainly when he's president of the United States. But this is a guy that you probably don't want to get in a fight. And to your point, the Asperger's has to be playing a role. It's hard for me to believe that it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, look, I can appreciate both men's perspectives. So Musk wants to know, why can't Washington look itself in the mirror and recognize the fact that we're going to have a huge monetary crisis some point in the future? You know, we're spiraling out of control. And you mean to tell me you can't cut spending in the least? And then Trump on the other side says, look, buddy, I did this for 4 years. I felt it's as crazy as you feel now, but this is what we can do in the here and now. And You know, the system
is
broken. Government's broken. Politics are broken. And I'm not surprised that that Musk walked away the way he did.
Yeah, so that what I said earlier on the roundtable is Elon's stance is principled. I think that, you know, Rand Paul's stance is principled. Ron Johnson, I've been talking about financial and fiscal sanity in this country for a long, long time. But Trump's stance, unfortunately, the way it is practical right now, especially when it comes to the tax cuts, because if they don't extend that, everyone's taxes go up. You know that better than anyone being in the world you're in. John, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the festival.
Thanks, Mark.
All right,
take care.
Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, Scott Jennings went on CNN and put a garbage can over his head at first yesterday when all this was happening, and then reflected on the moment in this way.
Pepto-Bismol is what we all need here in the Republican Party.
I thought it was some Jack Daniels.
They might need that too.
I know that we have our differences here sometimes, but if you could give me a little dispensation for the next hour and not beat me to death. Here's the deal. The goals.
Well, you know, you don't have to defend either of these men. You could just
And here's the problem.
What you think here's
the problem. They both have a point. Trump's agenda is in the bill, and he wants to pass it. That's his point. Musk is not wrong about the national debt, and he deeply cares about this, and that's his point. So their goals are not mutually exclusive, which is, I think, the rub. And for all these Republicans out here who, like me, have really enjoyed this coalition, this partnership. I mean, I firmly believe that the relationship and the partnership they formed last year saved America and put us on a path to saving Western civilization. And now this puts that in jeopardy. And so it's not just about the daily policy quibbles. It's about the larger cultural things that are at play. So I'm going to have some of this tonight and hope for better days and better skies tomorrow, because I still love them both. And I hate it when mom and dad are
fighting. Go ahead and take a sip, Bakari.
Very well stated from my friend Scott Jennings. Of course, he's writing a book about Trump. I'm wondering how this adjusts that book, because it did get really, really nasty. I have to, though, before we leave, we have to honor our veterans. And this is the anniversary of D-Day. Here is the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth.
This day, June the 6th, is the price of freedom. The first groups were decimated. Thousands of young men lost their lives, cut down by the barrage of machine guns and mortars. But they never let up. Our warriors never faltered. God at their backs.
Well, not by accident, featuring a song that is in the French language here this afternoon. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk on Monday. Sue Thomas will be back then.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball's all about the games.
And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.